there's a flow from heaven. And that which you are experiencing right now in your life that is good has come because it's an open reward from what you did privately when nobody saw. And you prayed and you believed and you declared and you got in the Spirit. And now there are some things happening in your life that's bringing joy. And obviously God's hand is upon you and blessing you. But it is the reward from what you did secretly. And so the secret to life is the secret life. Yeah. It's where nobody sees but you and God. And he shows openly. The reason so many Christians have joy and peace and victory and a smile on their face and a pep in their step and a glide in their stride, is that how you say that? Is because of what they've done privately. Their zeal for God is an open manifestation of what they've cultivated in private. And so don't think that they just happen to be that way. They just happen to be blessed financially by God. They just happen to have a lot of zeal. No, those things are cultivated in private. They could be just as depressed as everyone else if they hadn't prayed and if they hadn't gone in the presence of God. And so there's a flow from heaven. What he told me, we talk about when I'm yakking with Jesus, we talk about all kinds of things. We talked about the degree of man's free will in heaven. You know, God is trying to get man in heaven with a free will, and that's kind of risky. Major project, baby. How do you get man in heaven with a free will but guarantee he's never going to use the will against you again? How do you do that? That's what he's doing, and that's what he'll do. And so we talked about the degree of man's free will in heaven. Is he going to turn man loose in heaven like he did on the earth? And how powerful will the free will of man be in heaven? Things you never hear a preacher talk about, huh? Yakking with Jesus. And I'm not going to preach on that, so you can take that and, you can put that in your theological pipe and smoke it later. But get before the Lord. But those are the things we talk about. How many of you like yakking with Jesus? Amen. Me too. Nothing like prophesying when you're bringing in a 26-inch redfish. All right, praise God. Are you ready for the word? So this is what we yakked about last time, and he told me concerning the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind is a very common subject. A lot of pastors and preachers teach on it. You've all heard. Most of you will know where we're going in the Bible right now. I'm going to teach on the renewing of the mind. Turn to that scripture. I want to see how versed you are in the Bible. What scripture are we going to? Don't put it up yet. Did you already put it up? Oh, okay. Good. All right. Good to see you. Love you guys. The renewing of the mind. Turn in your Bible to Zechariah. Just joking. Romans chapter 12. How many of you knew that? Raise your hand if you knew that and you were already there. You weren't there? Romans chapter 12. This is the textbook renewing of the mind scripture. And you should be versed in your Bible enough on many times to be able to beat the preacher to the scripture he's going to. Yeah, make it a challenge. Have a family game. A free something for the first one in the family that hits the scripture before the preacher turns there. Come on, man. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we're grateful for your holy written word that transforms our life and renews our mind to prove your will so we can walk in your will. Your word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Your word that is more precious to us than silver and gold. Your word, precepts, your statutes, your commandments, your laws, your testimonies, their life to us, their healing and health to all of our flesh. You sent your word to heal us and deliver us from our destruction. Your word is alive and full of power. And we're grateful for your holy written word. We don't live by natural food alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. We consider this written word, you speaking to us personally. And from you today, I pray and thank you for speaking to every person individually where they're at, beyond the words of man, revealing by the Holy Ghost the wisdom and revelation they need to step up to the next level, to go further for you, to prove your good, perfect, and acceptable will in a greater degree than they ever have. And for the renewing of the total mind. And we give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. And so what he reminded me of was something that he had spoke to me years ago that I had forgotten about. And today, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, there will be things come up to your consciousness and your memory and come up to your mind that he spoke to you years ago that you forgot about. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. He brings back into remembrance. And so the renewing of the mind, he told me, is not just about us changing the way we think and changing our thoughts. But because the mind includes your memory, you could call it this way. It's the renewing of the memory. How many of you like to have your memory renewed? When your memory is renewed by the Spirit of God, you remember on purpose those things that bring faith, peace, and joy and victory in your life that empower you, and you forget supernaturally those things that depress and discourage you and bring back the pain of past events. Supernatural mind renewing by the Spirit of God includes your memory. It includes your desires. By the Spirit of God, you begin to have desires for God. He gives you the desires of your heart. And you begin, how many of you would like to have less desires for ungodly things? And more desire for godly things? Yeah. This is part of the renewing of the mind. He renews your desires. He renews your memory. He renews your decision-making processes, where you begin to make decisions based on heaven's information and knowledge rather than just your personal knowledge. Your reasoning facilities and your decision-making processes take on a heavenly empowerment that causes you to make wise decisions that cause your success and advance the kingdom of God. This is part of the renewing of the mind. Your motives are part of your mind. People often know that they have a wrong motive, but they don't know how to change it. How do you change an attitude? How do you change a motive? It takes supernatural ability to do that by the Spirit of God. It's part of the renewing of the mind. Your purposes, your emotions are part of your mind. Your emotions. The renewing of the mind is the renewing of the emotions as well, which means that fear and anxiety and worry diminish, and supernaturally you have a confidence, a boldness, and a power that you didn't have before emotionally. There are so many emotionally unstable Christians in the world, it amazes me. They're seeing worldly therapists. You've got pastors seeing worldly therapists, getting up in the pulpit saying, my therapist told me this, and my therapist told me that. If you're a pastor and you're seeing a therapist, please don't tell your congregation that. But I can save you the cost of the therapist by giving you what the Word of God says, and then you can sow what you would have paid them into our traveling ministry. Amen. Notice that he said, that was my introductory a little bit. That's the shortest introductory I've ever done to any message. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And he says, therefore, we're going to look at that in a minute. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renew means to renovate it in a way that's better than it was before. Better than it was before. That includes your memory, your desires, your motives, your reasoning factors, your decision-making processes, your emotions. Better than they were before. so that you can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect. Number one, you're never going to present your body to God until you renew your mind. The renewing of the mind is part of the process by which you present your body, because your decision-making processes determine what your body does. And to walk in the will of God, you have to have a renewed mind. You have to have a renewed mind. The more that your mind is renewed, the more you'll walk in the will of God. The renewing of the mind is an incredibly important thing. Incredibly important. Not only is it the only thing that's going to cause you to walk in the will of God for your life, but it's also eternal. Because there won't be any carnally minded actions, any carnally minded things in heaven. In heaven, your spiritual development on this earth carries over to heaven. The renewing of your mind on this earth carries over to heaven. What you'll be doing in heaven and what you'll be experiencing in heaven has everything to do with how much you renew your mind and walk in the will of God in this earth. And I could prove that to you scripturally, but it takes too much time, so just believe it. It's true. It's true. Godliness is profitable in this life and what? And the life to come. Oh, yeah. And you're not going to walk godly till you renew your mind. So the renewing of the mind has eternal implications. And you'll never walk in the will of God without a renewed mind. And so to renew, to make new, renovate. And so our life is not transformed by being born again. Our life is transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, being born again is the greatest miracle in the human race. And I share my testimony of being born again. There is no greater miracle because it's an eternal miracle. It's awesome. Being born again gives you the ability to transform your life through the renewing of your mind. But being born again happens in your spirit. You still have a soul. You still have a body. You have to put your body under, which you won't do without a renewed mind. You have to renew your mind to the Word of God. But you have supernatural help, the Holy Ghost help. Holy Ghost mind-renewing help. You can't do it without the Holy Ghost. Need Him. You need Him. One time when I first started pastoring, I counseled with somebody at lunch, and a man came to me, and a long time ago, he was having problems with his thought life, and well, actually pornography, and constantly trying to cast down imagination. And he told me, he said, I know I'm supposed to cast down my imaginations. I know I'm supposed to bring every thought captive to obedience of Jesus. I know I'm supposed to do this. But he said, every time I cast down my imagination, it comes right back. And I can't do it. I'm not having any success. I get cast down. I get worn out trying to do it. And I'm not successful at it. And before I could think of it, out of my spirit, from the inside out, when you pray in tongues a lot, there'll be also a known language utterance that will come out of you because that flow is created already. And you're used to tapping into what's inside of you and let it come out of your mouth. And before I could think of it, I said, you're not supposed to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And he said, wait a second, that's in the scriptures. Sure I am. And so I took him over there, and I got ahead of myself, but 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, I took him over there, and we looked at that scripture right at the restaurant, opened our Bible, and before I could think, I said, you're not supposed to be doing it. And we read that, and what does that scripture say? Is it up on the board? There it is right there. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down. The weapons, everybody say, the weapons of my warfare. That's what pulls down the strongholds. You don't do it. Christians many times get the idea that they can walk in faith without God, that they can renew their mind without Him, that He tells them to do something. You know, before you get saved, you know you can't go to heaven without Him. But after you get saved, all of a sudden we regress back to doing everything ourselves, thinking that we can do it without Him. He set this whole system up where we're dependent on Him continually. If you don't go to Him, you're not going to have supernatural help to do anything. And you're going to try to cast down imaginations, and you're going to get cast down. You have to activate the weapons of your warfare. They're not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Through God. Everybody say, through God. And so the renewing of the mind is not done without the power of the Holy Ghost, without fellowship with God. It can't be. It can't be, because you're getting heaven's thoughts. You're getting heaven's empowerment for your thoughts. You're getting the Spirit of God to motivate, empower your thoughts. It's not just being renewed in your mind as far as your thoughts go. It's the Spirit of your mind. That's why in Ephesians, and I'm totally obliviating my notes, but that's okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. You can put that up there now. I know I got it backwards. Ephesians 4, 23, it says that we're renewed in the Spirit of our mind. The Spirit of our mind. This is why there's a therefore in verse 1 in Romans chapter 12. Are you still with me? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore. What should you do when you see a therefore in the Bible? Yep. You know, where'd you hear that from? You see a therefore in the Bible, you have to figure out what it's there for. Okay? He said, therefore, he's in reference to the preceding verses. What he just said, if you look at Romans chapter 11, verse 36, you see that it says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. I beseech you, therefore, offer up your bodies, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Therefore means because everything comes from him and through him and back to him. Therefore, we can renew our mind. In other words, you're going to have to tap into him. It's going to be of him, it's going to be through him, and it's going to be for his glory. I call it the God cycle. You got to do it with fellowship with him. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to renew your mind, because you're not just replacing your thoughts with other thoughts and human effort. You're changing the Spirit, which is motivating and empowering your thought life. If you don't change the Spirit that's motivating and empowering your thought life, you'll think like the world. The world is cosmos having Satan as its head. And the Bible says God's not giving you the spirit of this world, but he's giving you the Holy Spirit, whereby you may know those things that have been provided for you. So you're either going to be operating in the spirit of the world, or you're going to be operating by the Holy Spirit. And if you're operating and influenced by the spirit of the world, you're going to be trying to cast down your thoughts, but you're never, because it's an unlimited supply, because you're worldly and carnal-minded. You're going to have to shut that off, get in the Holy Ghost, and allow the Spirit of God to give you thoughts from heaven. Thoughts from heaven will cleanse your dirty brain. Sometimes you just need to marinate your brain in the presence of God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues. Worship. Praise. Get in the Spirit. Connect with him, because all things are of him, through him, and to him. Therefore, you can offer your body up a living sacrifice by renewing your mind and being transformed. A transformer regulates power. The Holy Ghost is that power that transforms your life by the renewing of your mind. And he'll give you ideas, and he'll give you thoughts, and he'll give you things from heaven that you can think on, things that are pure, just, true, honest, good report, praiseworthy things. Think on these things. Thoughts from heaven will cleanse you of animosity toward other people. Thoughts from heaven will empower you to have wisdom from above, to prosper you in ways you never thought you could do. Thoughts from heaven will change the way you see yourself, what you can do, what you can have. Thoughts from heaven will tell you you can pay for your next house by writing a check in cash. Your next house, shikabaka, that's a word for you. Your next house, write a check for. Pay off completely. Debt free. Those are thoughts from heaven. I'll bless you so much that you won't have to borrow. Thoughts from heaven. Woo, glory to God. I like thoughts from heaven. Thoughts from heaven. You see somebody in a wheelchair, thoughts from heaven come. They can get up and walk if you lay hands on them. Thoughts from heaven. Thoughts from heaven. And so the renewing of our mind takes Holy Ghost help. I share my testimony of 1983. I was a drug addict. I hated life. I hated myself. I couldn't get along with any other people. I couldn't hold a job. I was raised on the streets of Phoenix, Arizona, and my life was in shambles. and I was completely tormented. I couldn't do anything right. Barely made it through high school. Went to three high schools. I hitchhiked to high school my senior year because I lived so far away, because I got kicked out of everywhere I lived because of my drug habit. But I graduated from high school. I made it barely. It was a miracle that I made it. But I share my testimony, and sometimes I don't do my testimony justice. Not in the fact of what I was delivered out of, because I was delivered out of three packs of Marlboro 100s a day. I was delivered out of a marijuana addiction for 10 years. Every day I smoked marijuana. I was totally convinced in my mind that I was a better person when I was stoned. I would get a bathroom pass out of school to smoke a joint in the bathroom and go back in high school. I'm not proud of that, but that's how addicted I was to drugs, okay? And in 1983, August 16th, I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he completely changed me and delivered me. And I share that testimony. The hopelessness left. The sin consciousness left. The ungodly. I never cussed again without even trying not to cuss anymore. I just stopped cussing, and I was filthy mouth. And all of a sudden, I loved people that I had no business even caring about. And the reality of who Jesus was dawned on my heart so strong. I didn't have to have a pastor tell me to go to church or tithe. I just started doing it because Jesus was so real to me. But what I don't tell people, all those years, that was 40 years ago, I've always walked in the will of God. I have never one time woke up and said, oh, I'm out of the will of God. How come? What is it, Lord? Never. I always walked in. And what I don't tell people about my testimony that I don't do them justice by not telling them is, I didn't just get born again. I immediately started renewing my mind. Every day I was in the Bible reading it. Every day I prayed. Every day I got in the presence of God. Every day I took the way I thought and set it aside and let God renovate my thinking and my mind by his Spirit revealing his word unto me. Every day I confess the word of God. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation. The best way to meditate on the word is to speak it every day. That's the best way to renew your mind. Get in the Holy Ghost and begin to speak the written word of God until it's so imprinted in your brain that every other ungodly thinking begins to diminish and go away from you. And I did that. I renewed my mind by the word of God, by the power of the Spirit of God. And I don't tell people that. They just think if they get born again, they're going to automatically. No, no. That's why there's so many people that get born again that you can't even tell they're saved a year later. Because they do not renew their mind. And it's supernatural, and you need help to do it. You can't do anything of eternal significance without the Holy Ghost. John chapter 15, verse 5, he said that. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And Romans 12:1 says, therefore, it's referring to of him, through him, and to him. You got to get, in Ephesians 4:23 says, you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so our minds include our emotion, our memory, our reasoning factors, our decision-making processes, our desires, our motives, our feelings. They must all be renewed. And most people stop with just mentally agreeing with what the Bible says. They stop right there. And that's why there's still emotional basket cases. There's some flaky Christians. Some flaky Christians. I had people in our church that were flaky. Thank God that we had good, strong people. I just had a pastor tell me that the people that came over from our church in his church are the most solid, best Christians that he has. And it's a larger church, so we're grateful for that. But a lot of charismatics draw flaky people. And people say, you know, you got some flaky people in your church. And I tell them, well, you should have seen how flaky they were before they came. There's some flaky pastors out there, too, because they don't renew their mind. You got to renew your mind for emotional stability. Emotional stability comes by the renewing of the mind. Proper desires and motives come by the renewing of the mind. The Bible tells you what you're supposed to remember and what you're supposed to forget. Anytime the Bible says forgetting these, forgetting this, forgetting that, which is, and remember this, remember, then that's what you do. And the Spirit of God will empower you to remember what you're supposed to remember and to forget what you're supposed to forget. We're going to talk about that more in a minute because that was really on my heart today to minister. Some of you are going to supernaturally forget some things that have been tormenting you because you're allowing them in your mind. Yeah. Yeah. And so we have not received the spirit of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. We have not received the spirit of this world, but we have received the spirit of God, whereby we may know, am I too tall? Am I blocking the scripture? By we may know those things that are freely given to us. There's no way that a human being can know what God did for them and what's given to them through the shed blood of Jesus without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why the devil tries so hard to get whole churches to shut down the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All these Holy Spirit freaking things, they aren't really happening. This is da, da, da. This is not of God. That's not of God. I can prove it scripturally. And they'll misuse a couple of scriptures to try to prove the Holy Ghost is it for today. That fanatics are the only ones who believe it. He does everything. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals Jesus to you. You can't even know him unless he's drawn. The Bible says no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit. Yes. He is the representative of the Godhead in the earth today. Without him, you have no God. Except the God of this world. And so you're either going to yield to the spirit of this world or you're going to yield to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Our mind is either going to be influenced and empowered by the Holy Spirit or the spirit of this world. That's it. It's the only choices you have. Change the source of your thoughts. Most Christians do not activate the Holy Spirit's ministry enough to renew their whole mind and their emotions, their memory, and their desires. We don't do it ourselves. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through him. Through him. The first priority in any spiritual exercise he says to do is to hook up with him and do it by the Spirit. Do it by the Spirit. Yeah, it is replacing our thoughts with his thoughts. But you can't do that without him. Without him. Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8. I want to slow down a little bit. Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 11. For my thoughts, I'm waiting for you to get there. I can hear those angel wings flapping. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Now, a lot of religious people will just stop there and say, see, you can't know the thoughts of God. You can't know his ways. His ways are mysterious beyond our knowledge. No, that's not true. If you keep reading, you won't be so deceived. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, everybody say from heaven. He's saying thoughts are going to come from heaven just like the snow and rain does. And returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, so it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Whew, that's so good. The sower soweth the word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Again, you're not just hearing religious theology. You're having fellowship with God. When he said out of my mouth, he means you're listening to me personally. You're not just getting it from men. Because you have a relationship with me, it's as though what's being taught is me speaking to you personally. And that's how it is when you read the word. So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It won't return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. Well, he says he sent his word to deliver us and heal us from our destruction. He sent his word. How does that work? Well, he gives his thoughts from heaven to us through a personal relationship out of his mouth. He speaks personally certain things to us. Thoughts from heaven come. When we take those thoughts as our own thoughts, it influences and empowers our decision-making processes so our ways become his ways. He sent his word so our thoughts could be his thoughts, so our ways could be his ways. That's what he did. That's what he did. This is the way you walk with God. This is how it operates. This is the renewing of the mind. Yeah, you meditate on the word. Yes, confess it. every day, but get in the Spirit, and thoughts of from heaven will come to you. I love thoughts from heaven, man. It is. It makes life so supernatural to have thoughts from heaven. Thoughts from heaven. I'm trying to remember some thoughts from heaven that came when you guys were in church. But, you know, we had a girl sitting on the front row, and thoughts from heaven came as I was teaching. And the thoughts that God showed me was that girl's getting bad advice from somebody, and she's about to do something she's going to regret. And rather than bring condemnation and guilt, when thoughts from heaven come, it always uplifts. And so I told her, ma'am, I don't know you, but the Lord shows me that you're getting advice from somebody that you're considering taking. And you know in your heart that is not the best, but you're influenced to do it. And if you will do what you know God says to do, and I know you're gonna, it's gonna be so good for you, and things are gonna be better. And her mom told me after the service that she was getting ready to run away with her boyfriend. She was 16. He was 23. She had her bags packed, and after church, she was going to meet him and run away. And because I gave her that word, thoughts from heaven, it changed her life. And she repented and did not run away and made right with her mom. And things turned out better for her. Thoughts from heaven will come to you when you're witnessing to people. And those thoughts will empower you to do his good, perfect, and acceptable will. They're powerful. They're powerful. And so, always rely on the Spirit of God to empower your thought life. When you know you're thinking things you shouldn't be thinking, things that produce fear, anxiety, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit, power, love, and a sound mind. If you're constantly under anxiety, worry, and fear, your thoughts are being empowered by the spirit of this world. If you're constantly in faith and excited for the future, in hope and peace and joy, your thoughts are being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's the only choices you have. And so, the Passion Bible in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Passion Bible says it this way. It says, I didn't write it down, did I? Good, thank you. I usually write it down. I told him you don't have to have it. I wrote it down, and it's there somewhere. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. So the Passion Translation picks up that the intended message was you can't do this by yourself. You have to have the Holy Spirit. You have to. That's why praying in tongues, I know the mind is unfruitful when you pray in tongues. I understand that. But it activates the Spirit of God to bring peace and rest in your mind. Isaiah 28:11 says, with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak unto my people. This is the rest wherewith I will cause the weary to rest. Praying in tongues has everything to do with renewing your mind. I believe that's how Paul got so much revelation. He said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Where did he get all that revelation? Oh, that's good, Lord. He activated the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that's why thoughts from heaven came. Thoughts from heaven will come. And when thoughts from heaven come, it supersedes your limitations. I don't know enough. I didn't go to school. I didn't go to college. I'm not very smart. First of all, don't believe you're not very smart because you have the wisdom. But second of all you got to do is tap into thoughts from heaven, and it'll elevate. I was one of the dumbest people I ever knew. And now I go all around preaching, and everybody thinks I'm smart. It's hilarious. It's so fun. I'm like, okay, think on. Praise God. I know I'm not. That's why when a preacher's preaching and he goes, oh, that's good. He's not bragging on himself. He realizes he's not that smart. That he's getting thoughts from heaven. And so transform takes power. God's going to empower you in your mind to break forth every barrier that the spirit of the world has put on you, because now your thoughts are coming and empowered by the Spirit of God. Thoughts from heaven. And it's going to renew your reasoning abilities. It's going to renew your decision-making processes. It's going to renew your emotions. You do not have to be an emotional basket case, no matter what you've been through in the past. You do not have to be. He will restore your emotion. You can control your anger. You can control the anxiety. You can control the fear by the power of the Holy Ghost. Emotionally stable. No more temper tantrums. I do premarital counseling. I always ask the man, how do you express your anger? Have you ever hit a member of the opposite sex? Yep. You didn't tell me you were going to ask me that. I'm going to ask you a lot of other things you're probably uncomfortable with. Emotional stability is rare in the body of Christ. People are just, phew. And it's easy to act emotionally stable in church. Oh, praise God. Moving right along. At one aspect, everybody say this after me. No, matter of fact, point to somebody. Point at them and tell them, change your mind, change your life. Yeah? If you change your mind, you change your life. The name of this message is Change Your Mind. Boy, because I couldn't think of anything more fancy. Change your mind. And so one aspect that many Christians deal with is memory. And most Bible teachers will not tell you that that's part of the renewing of the mind. But it's a very large part, very important part. You want your memory renewed. And that doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean you don't want to be like, you know, some of us who are thinking about the hereafter all the time. We walk in the kitchen and then we'll try to remember what we were here after. I'm not talking about being able to remember things, although that is part of it, because he'll bring, the Bible says in John 14 that he'll bring back into remembrance the things that Jesus taught. If the Holy Ghost can bring back into remembrance the things Jesus taught us, can he bring back into remembrance why we're in the kitchen? Come on now, who's believing with me? Holy Ghost mind renewal, the renewing of the memory. Don't hear that, do you? I don't think I've ever heard any teacher teach this. Renewing of the memory, very important. And so the Bible tells us what to remember and what to forget. And I found in 33 years of pastoring, most Christians are remembering what they shouldn't be remembering. Yeah. And they're forgetting what they're supposed to be remembering. And you can see all throughout the Bible the importance of remembering and forgetting supernaturally. You're going to need supernatural Holy Ghost help to do this and to do it right. And why does it seem like it's, am I the only one in here? I know I'm not. That was facetious? Because I know I'm not. But it seems as though it's so much easier to remember the wrong people have done to us, how much we've been hurt, our own sin, our shortcomings, the trauma we had, the time we blew it and lost our job. It's so easy to remember. It's almost like that automatically plays in our mind. Why is that? But remembering the time that, you know, we did right, the time that God blessed us, the time that God did this, the time that God moved, the time that we prayed for somebody and they got their answer. Remembering those good things that God did seems so difficult. Why is that? It should not be. And it ticks me a little bit, to be honest with you. Is it okay if I say that from the pulpit? I had somebody leave our church one time because I said, don't get your panties in a wad, and they did. Oh, praise God. Forgive me. Thank you. Why does it seem so much easier to remember the bad things? If somebody's messing with your brain. Somebody's messing. It's because, I'm going to tell you why, because the spirit of this world has more access to your mind than the Holy Ghost does. Because you've given the spirit of this world more access to your mind than you've given the Holy Ghost. That's why it's so easy to remember the wrong people did to you. There are teenagers who one time, you know, somebody stayed with us many, many years ago because one of our relatives wanted them to straighten out, so they sent them to Pastor Jim's house, and that didn't work. But this young lady took one Tylenol, 32 Tylenol. She took one Tylenol, she told me afterwards, I took one Tylenol for every bad thing my mom ever did to me. And she took 32 Tylenol, tried to kill herself, so they took her away from us. The authorities did. But it's a lack of control. And unrestrained thoughts will always produce unrestrained actions. Always. We have to get in the Holy Ghost and get our thought life under control. This is part of the renewing of the mind. And so if you give the spirit of this world more access to your mind than you give the Holy Ghost, the spirit of this world is going to empower your thought life to produce anxiety, worry, fear, and every other ungodly thing you're trying to get rid of. And what happens is people come up for prayer and they want somebody else's prayer to do what only the renewing of the mind will do in their life. It doesn't work that way. You can get a good shot of the Holy Ghost, and you can feel good for a while, go down in the spirit, and have your brain cleared out and your thought life and your mind seemingly renewed, but you go right back to yielding to the spirit of this world and the anger and the anxiety and the fear and the worry and the memories of all the trauma are going to come right back to you. Your mind does not stay renewed any more than your hair stays brushed. It does not. Does not. It's a continual lifestyle, or you're not going to experience it. And you can't get from prayer what the renewing of the mind will do. It transforms your life, your emotions, your memory, your desires, your motives, every aspect of your life by the renewing of the mind. And so the Holy Spirit brings back things to our remembrance. And the Bible tells us what to remember and what to forget. Psalm 103:2, I love this verse of scripture. Psalm 103:2 says, I love this, bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, your inward man can tell your soul what to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Who's telling the soul to do that? The inward man. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When you don't feel like praising, if your inward man's strong, you praise anyways. Tell your soul what to do. Tell yourself what to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And now once you get in the presence of God, then you have supernatural forgetting by the Holy Ghost. Supernatural remembering by the Holy Ghost. You forget your sins because he remembers them no more. And you forgave yourself, didn't you? You forget what others have done wrong to you. But you got to get in the presence of God, have supernatural Holy Ghost forgetting and remembering. Forget not all his benefits. What's the benefits we're not supposed to forget? Who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. It's amazing how much the Bible reminds us to remember this and forget this. Forget this and remember this. Whatever the Bible tells you to remember, remember. Whatever the Bible tells you to forget, forget. It says forget not. In other words, remember all his benefits. He is the Lord who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and he remembers them no more. It's godly not to remember iniquities. Don't you remember what they did to you? I always tell people, I remember forgetting what they did to me. Yep. I remember forgetting supernaturally. I got in the presence of God. I got supernatural forgetfulness flowing through me because when I forgive somebody, I forget about it. For 30 years of our ministry, right near the end, until the very end, I heard horror stories of other pastors. Pastors went through so much, and they used to tell me everything people did wrong to them and how bad it was and who left and who did this and our biggest givers left, and they caused rumors about it, and they split the church, and they did this. And for 29 years, we didn't have any of that, so I thought. And then after I resigned from pastoring, I looked back and I thought, you know, if I really tried to remember some of that, we went through similar things, but I forgot all about it. Isn't it better just to forget those things? Forget that you were raped? Can you do that? Is that possible? Only supernaturally. It doesn't mean that you don't have the ability to recall it. It means you choose to, and nothing can stop that from happening. You choose not to recall it. You choose to keep it down. It is not going to be a part of my thought life where it causes anxiety, worry, fear of future things. Whatever it is. Now, I know some are more difficult than others. And if you've been sexually abused, I'm sorry for you. And I hurt for you. But I'm telling you, you don't have to relive that over and over and over again. You don't have to relive the emotional trauma, the pain, the heartache over and over again. There is a supernatural forgetfulness that will come to you in the presence of God by the word of God. That you'll not have to relive the pain. and the torment again and again. It's not God's will. It's not God's will. And so, supernatural forgetting, supernatural remembering. Psalm 103, forget not the benefits. He forgiveth all thy iniquities, and he doesn't remember them anymore. He heals all thy diseases. He heals all thy diseases. Remember, healing was provided for you just as simply and easily accessible as forgiveness was. Remember, healing was provided for you just as easily accessible as forgiveness was. Remember, Jesus said, which is easier? They were both provided in redemption. Healing was provided through forgiveness of sins because sickness came through sin. It's the same. You say, no, I always get sick this time of year. I have to be sick. My mama had this, that, and that. Every year when the cold front comes in, your mind is not renewed. When your mind's renewed, I'm staying healed. That's it. I'm healed. I'm staying healed. Healing's mine as much as forgiveness is. I will not forget the benefits. And this is a benefit of my redemption. Healing is the children's bread. I am the child. I take healing just as much as I take forgiveness. It's just as easy to receive. Somebody needed that. The renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind. And so, who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from destruction. Ha! I'm not going to be destroyed. I'm not going to get in a car accident. So, some of you think, don't watch YouTube videos of car accidents all day long. Do not. Because your mind is going to release things that influence your decision-making processes to cause that to come to pass. And that's what fear does. That's what fear does. Okay? I start watching them, and then I turn it off real quick. I'm not going to watch that because I can sense what it's doing. I designed your emotional, spiritual, and physical makeup to produce in this world that which you believe, and that which you think will cause you to believe accordingly. So think that which you desire to be, and believe it to be, and speak it to be, and so shall it be. In the name of Jesus. That's how it works. That's how he designed it. Most physical sicknesses, over 80% of them, doctors say, are caused by the thought life. Anxiety, worry, and stress causes most physical. Your thoughts, I'm going to get into that. Do you want to, Lord? Oh, wait. That's coming. All right. Well, are we okay? Okay, Pastor Ed said I had till 3:30, right? And so he tells us what to forget and what to remember. And he says, don't forget these benefits. And then in 2 Peter 1:9, it says that the man that doesn't produce the fruit of the Spirit, add to your faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge, temperance, kindness, brotherly love. If these things be in you and abound, they shall make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if any man lack these things, he is blind and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You cannot forget certain things. You cannot forget. I think I told Cody one time when you were younger. I don't know if it was you or not, but I'll just use Cody. Is it okay if I use you? This may not be exactly true, but any teenager, you forget to take out the garbage. And the garbage man came and you pay. You pay monthly for the garbage man to come. And now you don't get your garbage taken because you're in the country and they come once a week. And so you don't have enough room. And now, you know, that's a major thing. And so they come up, and it's his job to do it. It's the teenager's job to do it. And they come, they say, I forgot. I forgot. In other words, it's okay. I just forgot. Forgetting is normal. It's okay. And so I said, when you stand in front of Jesus, and he says, why didn't you do what I told you to do? And you say, I forgot. Is that going to hold water? No. Poor Cody. When he was living with us, I used to tell him, Cody, the dishes, the sink, if you cannot conquer a sink full of dishes, you'll never win the world to Jesus. Amen. And now I'm getting to do that every day. So I do the dishes for her because I love her. Yeah. And I used to hate doing dishes, and I never would do them, and now I do them every day. And I get joy out of it to bless her. She did dishes as she raised four kids her whole life, and now I'm here to bless her life. You should get married for what you can bring to the marriage, not what you can get out of it. Amen. Would you stop doing that? Stop trying to, when you're not meeting my needs, they don't do this, and they do. You're gone, man. You better get your focus on right and renew your mind. They're not there to please you. You're there to be a blessing to them, increase the quality of their life, and give unto them. God take care of you. You get your needs met from him. Now, all right, praise God. I'll just tell you, premarital counseling, shall I say this? You know, because I have young men ask me in premarital counseling, one of the questions on the questionnaire, how often do you expect to have sex with your spouse? And the guys are going, every day. Two or three times a day, at least four or five times a week. And I look at them, I tell them, do you know how often you're going to have sex with your wife? You're going to have sex with her as often as she wants to. That's it. That's it. That's all. That's all. Because you're walking in love, and love doesn't insist on its own rights and its own ways. And you are not looking to, no, that's it. You're going to mortify that flesh, and you're going to say, no, I'll reject it. No, you're going to man up, be a man, get before God, mortify that flesh. The only way you can mortify your flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered how you mortify your flesh? It says that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll mortify your flesh. How do you do that? It's the renewing of the mind, man, because your decision-making processes have to be influenced by the Spirit of God more than they are the spirit of the world. That's how you mortify your flesh. That's how the Holy Spirit does it. He does it through the renewing of your mind. It's not just some mysterious power that comes upon you and all of a sudden you don't have to do what your flesh wants to do. He overtakes your decision-making processes through the renewing of your mind. And it's the only way you're going to mortify that flesh. All right, we're dabbling this morning. If you're online, don't turn off that channel. There's more. Praise God. Don't be offended. Well, you can be offended at home. Nobody here will be offended. Get over it. And so that's why people get offended, because they don't control their thought life. They think on the same old dumb thing over and over again until it gets so big that it's completely different than what really happened. And to them, it's major and big, and I'm not going to talk to you again. I'm not going to that church again. And it was a minute thing that grew because you thought on it over and over and over again until it produced so many bad emotions, you can't stand the emotions anymore, so you have to leave. And the devil will run you out of the marriage, out of the job, out of a church, out of every good thing God has for you. You'll never experience the will of God, so you renew that mind. Start thinking on things that are pure, true, just, honest, and good report. So we obviously need help remembering, because he said, remember, don't forget the benefits. He said that he forgot that he was purged from his own inequities. And he said in 1 Corinthians 11:24, Jesus instituted communion and said, do this in remembrance of me. Evidently, we need help to remember what we're supposed to remember. That's why communion is so important to you. It puts your remembrance back on what he did. So the power and the anointing and the ministry activated by the Holy Ghost can show you those things that were provided for you, so you can receive them and walk in the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. We obviously need help remembering. There's Holy Ghost help to remember, and there's Holy Ghost help to forget. There's Holy Ghost help to remember what you're supposed to remember, and there's Holy Ghost help to forget what you need to forget. And it's not that you don't have the ability to recall it. It's that you choose not to, and he empowers your choice. Yeah. And so Paul said, there's one thing I do in Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things that are behind. Forgetting those things that are behind. So he said, forgetting those things. It's sad so many Christians relive emotional pains of the past over and over and over again. Guilt, condemnation, regret. Whew. If you're struggling from regret, you regret you made that decision, be free this morning. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free. It's over. It's over. The only way the past is not going to have hold over you anymore is by renewing your mind. and begin to remember what you're supposed to remember, or forget what you're supposed to forget supernaturally. And so the past hurts over and over again, what people did, the guilt of what your own sins are. That's the spirit of this world. That's the spirit of this world. You don't have to allow that. You can get in the Holy Ghost. Have you ever noticed when you get in the Spirit, all that just goes away? And so I love getting in the Spirit, because the devil's not allowed there. And the spirit of the world's not allowed there. And so no more anxiety, worry, depression, discouragement. People think they need deliverance, you know. You can't get through somebody trying to cast the devil out of you what the renewing of the mind was designed by God to give you. Continually thinking on the wrong things. If we continue to remember the things he did for us, we'll be empowered for victory. We forget those things that weaken us and cause emotional instability. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Everybody say a sound mind. Sound mind. And so I'll close with this. I feel like I'm going long enough probably. Thank you, Lord. You know, if you're seeing a therapist, I'm not trying to belittle that, okay? They're a big thing in Christian circles nowadays, and Christian therapists. And I have friends that do Christian therapy. I like my Word of Faith friends that do that, because they emphasize the Word of God and the Spirit of God before psychology. And so they're helping people that, for whatever reason, are not getting help from the preaching of the Word of God. And I want anybody and everybody helped. But let me give you a quick rundown, and this is really street quick. You have a brain. Everybody say, I have a brain. Your brain is your physical organ that houses your mind and soul, your soul and mind. Your physical organ, the brain, houses it, okay? Your brain is made up of hundreds of billions of neurons. And neurons are cells that send messages to other neurons. And so, and chemical, they send chemical messages. So they release chemicals to communicate, okay? And that's why what you think on produces chemical reaction. Men that are addicted to pornography are not addicted so much to sex as they are the chemical that's released in the body. They're drug addicts. It produces a chemical. Okay. Now, when I first got saved, I thought on things that I shouldn't be thinking on all the time. And what happened in the renewing of the mind, there's physical things that happen in the renewing of the mind. Your neural pathways are like highways. And when you think on a certain thing, it releases neurons to go to other neurons and communicate things, and it creates a pathway. And those pathways can be very strong. They're called strongholds. When a stronghold in your mind is that the neural pathways that that are transferring chemicals and transferring information in your brain, because you've thought a certain way for so long, those pathways are like highways. And they have a momentum going where you don't even have to try to think about it. You automatically do. It's called a stronghold. It's a way of thinking. And you can put up roadblocks, and you can begin to form and build new neural highways in your mind. That's what I did when I got saved. When I first got saved, I had some major I can't highways. I can't live right. I can't stop smoking. I can't quit cussing. I can't do this. I can't be a good Christian. I can't be self-disciplined. I was totally convinced, and I thought that way so much that it automatically, those thoughts automatically, seemingly automatically, just flowed like a major highway with traffic. There was no way I was going to stop it. And you need help. You need supernatural help. When you begin to think on the Word of God every day, and the best way to do it is confess it every day. What I did when I got saved is I started to say, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God is with me. What can be against me? No weapon formed against me will prosper. He always causes me to triumph, and I'd go on for an hour. Hallelujah. And what it began to do is it began to take a detour around that normal highway of thought. I'm no good. I can't stop, fornicating. I can't stop doing drugs. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop this. I can't stop it. I began to get an I can highway. I can do all things through Christ's sister. And those neurons began to form another road in my brain. And I literally began to put up a roadblock of the I can't. And I was a useless nobody. My own dad told me I wouldn't give a plug nickel for you. Do you know what a plug nickel is? A plug nickel to a fake nickel. And he was right. I was worthless in society. I couldn't hold a job. I couldn't get along with anybody. I hated myself. I hated the way I was acting, but couldn't stop it. And it was all because of the way I thought. And, of course, being born again gives you access to the thoughts of God. And so the neural pathway, I literally had brain surgery. Yeah. The Word of God, Holy Ghost brain surgery, will reroute your neurons. And scientists and medical professionals tell you that what you think on releases chemicals. It releases chemicals in your body. And so that's why the Word of God is life to you and healing and health to all your flesh. That's why a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, like a medicine. And so the neural pathways, you put up roadblocks, you design new highways. I shut down the I can't highway, and I began to get an I can highway. And when the I can highway got more neurons than the I can't highway, I quit smoking, I quit drinking, I quit everything I didn't think I could. And then all of a sudden, I began to believe I can. And if you're thinking wrong, you'll be believing wrong. And believing. And so I got in the spirit with the Word of God every day. My decision-making processes began to be renewed. And I began to make wise decisions that caused my success. My emotions stabilized. I got joy and peace where I had trouble before. My desires changed. The desire for God became the prominent desire of my life. I did it through the words of my mouth. My memory. I started forgetting about all the bad things that I've done and all the bad things that Paul used to kill Christians. And he said, forgetting those things that are behind, but reaching forward to that which is before. And I began to prove his good, acceptable will. I have walked in the will of God all these 40 years. I have never once woken up or thought I'm out of the will of God. Never. I've always had confidence I was right where I was supposed to be. That comes through the renewing of the mind. I'm going to share this in closing, and I'm done. I'm going to share this illustration. You've probably heard it if you've been to our church, because I love sharing this vision. I don't think I shared it last time I was here, but if I did, it's good to hear again. Anyways, I've had very few visions in my ministry and in my life with God. In dreams and visions, God doesn't speak to me very much that way. He speaks to Sherry that way. She has dreams and visions, and if you have a dream or vision and you're wondering if it's from God or not, then it's not. You won't be wondering, because he'll reveal it to you and he'll reveal what it means to you. God's an intelligent being and you're an intelligent being. Two intelligent beings can communicate without confusion. If you have to go have somebody interpret your dream, then you're not Old Testament anymore. We have the Spirit of God in us. Okay, if it brings confusion, if you have a dream or a vision, you're wondering, if it was God or not, it's probably the pizza you ate or the taquitos you ate the night. Yeah. So this vision, I was struggling to live right as a young Christian. I was struggling in my faith. I was not where I wanted to be. There was a level that I knew I needed to be at and wanted to be at. I knew I was called to the ministry. God put me in pastoring before what I thought I was ready. And I struggled. I was still struggling with desires for the opposite sex. I was with desires for things. And I was not where I wanted to be spiritually, emotionally, or in maturity in the things of God. And so I saw myself, because I struggled and I wanted so bad to be above where I was at. I wanted to grow faster than I was growing. You ever been there? And so I had a vision, and in the vision, it was plain as day. I saw myself trying to get to this level I was supposed to be at. And I jumped and jumped and jumped and could not reach the level. My idea was to jump up, grab it, and pull myself up to the next level. I couldn't do it. And I tried and tried until I was exhausted and scraped up. And finally, I gave up. I gave up doing it on my own. This is not self-help. This is not self-improvement. This is mind renewing supernaturally. Your life will be transformed by renewing your mind. You can't do it on your own. You have to have him. When I gave up, I saw myself in the vision just sit there, and the Bible appeared on my lap when I was sitting there. The level I wanted to be at was still up there, but I stopped looking at it, and I began to look at the Bible, and I began to worship and get in the presence of God. And I watched myself worshiping and praying in tongues and glorifying God. I watched myself seeking Jesus, and then the Bible, opening the Bible, and I thumbed through the Bible, and I watched myself mutter the Bible and speak the words that God was speaking to me. And I watched myself just lost in his presence, lost in his word. Whenever you come into the presence of God, always take the word of God with you. Always, this is God speaking to you. You don't live by bread alone. You live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is bread from heaven. This is thoughts from heaven. This is what you're going to need to walk in his ways and perform his will. And so I began to get, and in the vision, I'm watching myself, the level I was on began to slowly rise like an elevator, but I didn't even realize it. I was so caught up in the word and so caught up worshiping him that I didn't realize that the level I was on was rising up until soon it was the level I was supposed to be at. And I came to and just walked in it. Whew. Supernaturally, that vision changed my life. Every time I get frustrated, every time I try to remember my old sin, my old failures, even as a pastor, how many times I did stupid things and sinned, and people, you know, good night, people will remind you of them. And yeah, and every time that I didn't think I was where I should be, I remember this is how it works. Forget about it. I can't do it on my own anyways. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Word of God working in me. The Word of God dwells in me richly. Holy Ghost, let's do this. Take my neural pathways and change them. Let's put up roadblocks supernaturally. I'm going to think a new way, glory to God. I'm going to think on things that are pure, true, just, honest. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to get in your presence. The animosity is going to leave. The remembrance of bad things is going to leave. I'm going to begin to remember what Jesus did for me. He's the one who died for me. I can't do it on my own anyways. His blood cleanses me. He presents me faultless in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Glory to God. I'm telling you, some elevators are rising in here. Some elevators are rising in here. Every time you get in the presence of God, every time you speak the word, every time you meditate on it, you're getting closer to that person that you're supposed to be to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Why don't you stand up with me? Thank you, Lord, for your word.